paragraph gimel now. Ve'im omnom ein lano esek ben historois, Rab Nosson Zal says, although we don't usually get involved in teaching secrets of Torah, in teaching Kabbalah, ach afal pikein, kol ma shon yecholim lohovin mehem remozim lavoides Hashem yisborach, whenever we have the opportunity to be able to derive advice or messages which can help us in serving Hashem, matoivu manoim, that's wonderful. Bifrat al pi ha-hagdomoi shel Rabbeinu Zal, especially using the introductions that Rabbeinu Zal gave us, shebichlal dvorav kol divrei kabbalah su'arizal v'azoyer ha-kodesh, whereby we know that in Rabbeinu Zal's words are included all the Kabbalistic writings of the Arizal and the Zohar HaKodesh, kasher nishma mipiv ha-kodesh, as we heard Rabbeinu Zal himself tell us. Al kein, kol ma shenefarish divrei ha-kavonos al pi ha-gdomosoi, therefore, to whatever extent we'll be able to explain and understand the writings of the Arizal using the introductions of Rabbeinu Zal, ha-koil emes v'tzedek, we know that that's solid, that's real truth. Ki dvorav zal hem klolius godol, because Rabbeinu Zal's words are all-encompassing, they include everything. Ve'ein kan mekoyim laharach bozekan. I don't want to elaborate on that now, Rab Nosson Zal says, just what I said suffices. Ve'noshuv el hoinin. Let's go back to our topic. Ki malchus hu bechinas hatfila. We had it mentioned in paragraph Aleph of this halacha that malchus, the term malchus that's used in the Zohar HaKodesh, in the writings of the Arizal, when we talk about the midah of malchus of Hashem, that corresponds to tefillah. Shehi b'chinas malchus David. Tefillah is the kingdom of David HaMelech. Rab Nosson Zal had quoted the pasuk va'ani tefillah. David HaMelech said, I am tefillah. And we know that tefillah, there are many other proofs to show the connection between malchus and tefillah. Shekol iskenu lenasro v'levnoisa koimo shleimo b'fnei atzmo, whereby the whole process that we're trying to accomplish during Rosh Hashanah and during that first section of the year is that we're trying to sever it, to detach it, and to build it up to be a complete organism unto itself, and then to unite it with Zeranpin. Ki bechinas Zeranpin hu ha-Torah ha-Kdoisha. Because the term Zeranpin that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah, which means literally small faces. In the Sifrei Kabbalah, they talk about Orich Anpin versus Ze'er Anpin. Ze'er Anpin, Ze'er means small, Anpin means faces. Orich Anpin, the word Orich means long or old in a sense. Ze'er Anpin usually refers to a lower level of Sechel. Orech Anpin refers to the highest possible level of Sechel. We would compare it. Usually, Ze'er Anpin refers to the Midos of Hashem, Chesed through Malchus, which are referred to as lights. They're also referred to many times as Ovois and Bonim. Chesed, Gvur, and Tiferes correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, who are the parents. Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid are referred to as bonim, children, a lower level, one notch down. The higher midos, keser, chochman, bina, are referred to as sovin, grandparents. And the keser is referred to as sovin de sovin, like great-grandparent, in a sense. These are terms that are used to refer to higher levels of light, higher levels of moichin, of sechel, and higher levels of kindness also. So here we're being told, ki bechinas zeranpin hu ha-toira kdoisha, kemuvan bekavonas kriyas ha-toira ubeshar mekoimois. We know that zeranpin corresponds to the Torah, the basic learning of Torah, as the Arizal discusses when he speaks about the topic of kriyas ha-toira, the reading of the Torah, and in other places. V'hatfilo hi bechinas malchus David, whereas tefillah represents Malchus, Dovra Melech, Shedvuka im Zeranpin Ocher Bokher, which is connected to to Zerampin. It's connected to the Torah, but the connection is back to back, which is not the best that could possibly be. The Iker Dveikusa Ocher Bocher, he be'es sheyesh shlitas hachitzoinim. The time when we see that Kaviochel, Zerampin, and Malchus are attached back to back is when the forces of Tumah, when the forces of the Sitrachra are strong, are powerful. She'oz misyorin shelo yizdapku b'achoreim. When that's the case, when the forces of Klipa and Tumah and Sitrachra are strong, then both Hashem and the Shekhinah, both Zerampin and Malchus, are afraid of being attacked from behind, of the forces of Tumah drawing too much from behind. Lahavdil, we would compare this to a person who studies self-defense. And they know that when a person, chas v'shalom, is attacked, when one person is being attacked by either one person or more than one person, one of the first thing he has to do is to cover his back, to try to back himself where there's a wall behind him or something behind him, so at least he knows he's facing his opponents and opponents are facing him. Nobody could come from behind where he can't see and hit him over the head or punch him or push him or anything where he can't possibly defend himself. That's one against one or one against five or 50. When you have two against one, or when you have two against two or more than two, here again, those who are trained properly know that the first thing they want to do is make sure that there is no back. Because if there's a back, somebody can attack me from behind, and that's where I'm most vulnerable. I'm least, I can't see what's my back. So what the two would do in such a situation is they'd attach themselves back to back so that there is no back, in a sense. They're covering a 360-degree circle, in a sense, that nobody can attack them from behind. Lahavdil, kaviyochel, when we're speaking about the light of Hashem, we're speaking about Hashem and the Shekhinah, and we're being told that there are these forces of Tumah which Hashem created. And Hashem wants them to exist, but Hashem wants them to be controlled, that they should be able to have life, but minimum, just what they need to exist. Not that they should be able to draw more energy than that, where they can do major harm to the Kedusha. So therefore we're told, the Arizal explains to us, that when these forces of Tumah have power, when they're strong, when there's Shlitas Hachitzoinim, where they're in a, such a situation, we're afraid that they shouldn't try to attach themselves to the back of the Kedusha, which is more vulnerable and it's much easier for them to draw from and be able to draw more energy or more strength than Hashem would want them to have, where they can do harm to the Kedusha. That's when Hashem makes sure that the Kesher between Hashem and the Shekhinah, between Zerampin and Malchus, is back to back. So that again, there is no back, there's no open back that's vulnerable to attack. Kimavur biksovim bekama mekoimois. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is elaborated on in the Kisvei Arizal in many places. This topic comes up repeatedly in the writings of the Arizal. Vize avoidasenu b'Rosh Hashanah. This is our avoidah on Rosh Hashanah. Lahamtik hadinim, to try to sweeten the midas hadin of Hashem, the judgment of Hashem. Ulevatel achizas hachitzoinim, and to try to eliminate the drawing power of the forces of the Sitrachra, the Klipois, Sheyenikosom mitoikef hadinim chas v'shalom, where they are able to draw the most when there is harsh dinim, when there's toikef hadin, that's where they draw from. We know that chesed is referred to as the right side, din or gvura is the left side. And the left side is also the Sitrachra, the Klipois and everything. So when there is a lot of din, that's where they have more of a potential to draw energy from Hashem for them to get stronger and chas v'shalom overpower the Kedusha or do harm to the Kedusha. So what we need to do on Rosh Hashanah is to sweeten the din, kidei lenaser es hamalchus, to allow us to be able to sever the connection between the Malchus and Hashem kaviyochel, shetia partsuf sholem b'poyal, so that the Malchus should be separated and be allowed to develop on its own, in a sense, to become a shlemus, v'tisyached bebchinas ponim beponim, and then be able to turn around and be unified with Hashem face to face. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain this in our terminology, in Musar and concepts that we can understand. Naturally, when a person hears this terminology that we just used for the first time, it all sounds like Latin. But Baruch Hashem, it's brought very often throughout Sifrei Chassidus, and they always give a little bit of clarification, etc., so that we're able, on our level, to be able to get some understanding of this, which helps us be able to understand major concepts in Yiddishkeit, as we'll see now. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Hainu ki yesh shnei bechinas tfilois. There are two types of tefillah. Yesh tefillah shehu lamata me'atoira, v'hi tefillah la'atoira. There is a type of tefillah that's beneath Torah, and it's subservient to Torah. Torah is considered on a higher level than that tefillah. V'yesh tefillah shehi bechinas achas ematoira mamish, v'gam hi govoya me'atoira. And there's another type of tefillah that's one with the Torah. It's equal to the Torah, and it's also above the Torah. Ki yesh tefillah shemispalalim al tzrochov, dahainu parnosa, ubonim, v'chaim, urefuah, etc. There is the standard type of tefillah where a person is praying to Hashem for their personal needs. For example, parnosa, livelihood, bonim, children, chaim, life, physical life, refuah, cure. V'zois ha-tefillah nikreis chayesho. That type of tefillah is referred to as temporary. It's not eternal. You're not praying for things that are eternal. You're praying for things that have a limited lifespan. V'hi lemata me'atoirah. That type of tefillah is beneath the level of Torah. Utfeila la'atoirah. And it's subservient to Torah. Ki bevadai mi shemespalel al tzorche gufoi. Ve'enoi miskaving klal b'shvil ha-toirah, rak hu mispalel shitmo Hashem izborach bonei chayim ezoina lahanosi letzor gufoi. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Because certainly, a person who's davening Hashem for their physical needs and isn't thinking of Torah whatsoever, they're praying for their personal physical needs. I need food, I'm hungry, I need to eat, I need... And they're not connecting it in any way to Torah. He's simply asking for these things for his personal pleasure and existence. Zois ha-tefillah bevadai eino chashuv alefnei Hashem Yisborach. That type of tefillah is not considered special to Hashem. V'hi bechinas tefillois ro'ois. And it could even be classified as a bad type of tefillah. Shekosav Rabbeinu Zal sheyesh l'chol odom tefillois ro'ois. Whereby Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in Likut Imran, that each and every single Jew sometimes has bad tefillos. V'hi bechinas ganva amachtarto rachmona karya. For example, there's a famous expression in the Gemara. The Gemara says a thief, a burglar, who's about to break into a house. It's night, it's 12 o'clock at night. He's hoping the people either are not there, they've gone away for vacation, or even if they are there, they're deeply asleep. And he's about to break into the house, and he thinks he's neutralized the alarms and everything. And before he goes in, he says, Hashem, help me. I shouldn't get caught. I shouldn't have to kill nobody. I should be successful in my crime. The Gemara says, Ganva, a thief, amachtarta, when he's going in bamachteret, you know, secretly, rachmonokari, he cries out to Hashem. Now, obviously, what kind of tefillah? That's not a tefillah that Hashem really loves and appreciates. Because this is a known item, v'nira b'chush, and we see this in life, shekol yemei chayenu hevel vorik, that our life is not, our physical life is really nothing, v'yomeinu kitzel oiver, and our lifetime passes by like a fleeting shadow, u'ma yisroin lodom b'chol amoloi, and what remains from all the work, all the struggle, the toil that a person does physically in the world. V'im yitzbor ke'ofor kesef. And even if a person will accumulate money like dust, you know, He'll have thousands, millions. What's going to come from it? The pasuk says, "Loi b'moisa yikach hakol." When a person dies, they don't take all of that with them. Ve'ein melaven loy lodam loy kesev loy zohar v'loy avonim toivus samargolius. The Gemara says that a person's gold and silver and precious stones and pearls don't accompany the person to their new life, to their after, you know, their life after death. The alkane, mi she'enoi mistakel al hatachles ho'achrin ho'amiti, and therefore, a person who isn't thinking and looking after their future, their real future, their eternal future, lomoloi chayim. Why does a person like that need to live? What's the purpose of that person's life? Uma hanachas ruach l'Hashem Yisborach mitfiloso Hashem Yisbalel she'itein lo Hashem Yisborach parnoso u'momoin l'malo is tavas bitnoi. What satisfaction could Hashem get from that person's tefillah who's saying, Hashem, give me food. I'm hungry. Give me what to eat today. Give me what to eat tomorrow. When the person's intention is simply to fill themselves physically with nothing more. V'Hashem Yisborach yoideya u'mevin shekol ma shemavakesh einoi toivel afanav klal. And Hashem knows that what this person is asking for isn't even a benefit for him. It's not doing him any good. So he'll eat another steak. So he'll have another barbecue. So what? Nothing's going to come out of that. Nothing's going to remain from that. V'hashirus sheloi hu bechinas oisher shomor lebolov lerosoi rachmono litzlan. That person's wealth is not an asset to him, chas v'shalom. It's a liability. It's in the category of what the pasuk says, that there's a wealth that's reserved for a person to hurt the person, to harm the person. Where such a person, sometimes the more he has, the worse off he is. It doesn't help him. It doesn't improve his quality of life. On the contrary, it turns him into a worse person. He suffers more. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Mar ben achosim, mar bedaiga. There's a concept of a person who has more wealth and he has more worries, more insecurities, more anger, more hate, more resentments. Nimtza, shehatfila shehilatzorich haguf levad, b'li kavonas kiyum hatoyra, hi bevadai eino toivo klal. So therefore, we conclude that a tefila, that a person is asking Hashem for their physical needs, purely for that sake alone, simply to have what to eat, without connecting it to any religion, to anything spiritual, to any Torah, that kind of tefillah is einoi toiv. It's not good. V'al tefillah is ko'elu koirei tagor b'zoyer HaKodesh. And it's about these kind of tefillahs that the Zoyer HaKodesh screams, you know, says negative statements where it says, tzavchin kiklovin hav-hav. That there are certain people who cry out to Hashem like dogs, just like a dog goes, hav-hav. It barks, that barking sound. The word hav in Aramaic means give. The Zohar Kodesh says there are people who cry at Hashem, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. That give me without any serious purpose, without any ultimate goal to it that would be pleasing to Hashem in any way, or that would have any permanence to it. Give me food, give me this. Ve'ein la Hashem Yisborach nachas mitfilo kazois shehilat sorchei aguf. Hashem doesn't have any pleasure from such a tefillah, which is purely for the physical needs. Ki im kishezeh hamespalil miskavin b'tfilosei b'shvil kiyum haTorah. Unless, let's say this person who's davening for their physical needs, they say, Hashem, I need food, I need clothing, I need money. For what? To be able to fulfill the Torah. You've given us a Torah. And in order to have tefillin, my son is about to be bar mitzvah, you want him to put on tefillin Hashem, I need $1,000 or a few $1,000 to be able to buy tefillin, to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin or the Torah. Or there's a mitzvah of a suda. A bar mitzvah is considered an important celebration where the Torah says there's a sudas mitzvah. Sudas mitzvah, I need soda, I need fish, I need this, I need physical things, but it's for kiyum ha-Torah. It's in order to fulfill mitzvahs of the Torah. So Rav Nosson Zal says, if a person is doing it, b'shul kiyum ha-Torah, d'haynu shemespalel al bonei chaya umezoina, meaning the person's asking for physical things, for children, for life, for food, v'chol kavanosoi k'dei sheyizkeh la'asos ritzoni yizborach ulakayim toirosai umitzvoisav be'emes. His whole intention in wanting to take care of the body and in wanting to have children or parnosa or life is to be able to fulfill the will of Hashem, which is to fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs with sincerity. Ve'im kavanosoi be'emes b'shvil zeh, Rav Nosson Zal emphasizes, if that's really the person's intention, if the person is really honest and sincere, that's what they want it for, they're not thinking of any physical pleasure, they're not thinking of themselves, they're thinking purely of serving Hashem and pleasing Hashem, bevadai yesh la shem izborach nachas ruach mitfila kazois. Hashem definitely has satisfaction and pleasure from such a tefillah. Aval afal pikein, tefillah kazoi si bevadai lemato me'atoira utfeila la'toira. But still, such a tefillah is beneath Torah, it's on a lower level than Torah, and it's subservient to the Torah. Ki me'achar she'atfilah b'shvil tzorchei haguf, because since the tefillah is asking for physical things, Nimtza shehatfila zois bifnei atzmo eino klum. This tefillah, if it were by itself, without any connection to Torah or anything, would be nothing. Ki lomaloi haguf utzrochav, because who needs the body? Who needs food and things like that? V'hayoyim bekanu mochor bekever. This physical machine, this body, today it's here, tomorrow they put it in the grave. So why play around with it? Why feed it and clothe it and bed it and all nonsense? What's coming out of that? Ve'ein lahatfila azois shun chiyus v'kiyum kiyum al yidei ha-Torah. That tfila doesn't really have any life to it, any real purpose to it, unless it's connected to the Torah. Dahainu, ma shemeskavim betfilosei al tzorchei haguf b'shvil kiyum ha-Torah. When a person is davening for physical things, but he's connecting it with fulfilling the Torah, nimtza shetfila kozois bevadai tfeila la-Torah. So therefore, that tfila has to come on to Torah. We said that tfila by itself would have no purpose to it, just about. It's only because it's connected to Torah. Because I'm saying I want food to be able to make a sudas mitzvah. I want to eat to be able to live, to be able to learn Torah, to be able to do mitzvahs. So it's the Torah that makes that tfila worth anything, in a sense. Ki ikar hu ha-Torah, because the main thing is the Torah. The person understands that the main thing in life is Torah. Raku mispalo al tzorchei haguf kedei shiyuchal lakayim es ha-Torah. He's davening for his physical needs, which will help him be able to fulfill the Torah. Va'al kein bevadai tfila kazois hi tfeila la-ha-Torah ulamata me'ha-Torah. So therefore, such a tfila is secondary to Torah, and it's beneath Torah. It's on a lower level than the Torah. Val tefila kazois hekpidu rabbi senozal shaloi laharich bo beyoser, and it's about this kind of tefila that we just mentioned that our rabbis tell us a person shouldn't spend too much time on that tefila. They shouldn't spend all their time on that kind of tefila. Kamoi shom razal, as the Gemara says in one place, manichin chayayoyla voiskin b'chayishua. The person is dropping things that are related to eternal life and substituting things that are temporary. Kiho ikar hu chayei olam, because the main thing is that which is permanent, that which is eternal. Shehu ha-Torah, which is the Torah. Aval ha-tfila kazois bishvil tzorchei haguf hi chayei shoah. But when I'm davening to make money and to have food and to have good health, that's something temporary. That's but I need it in order to fulfill the Torah, because the Torah is designed in such a way that it can only be fulfilled by somebody who has a body and has a wife and has children, etc., etc. So that's why I need a body and I need to take care of the body, and I need a wife and I need children and I need a house and I need a car. I need all of these things in order to fulfill the Torah, for kiyum ha-Torah. V'yalkein bevadai ein lahaniach ho'ikar shuchai yoylam ulaharech b'hatofel shuchai sho. Therefore, a person should not leave the study of Torah, take a lot of time off the study of Torah in which is eternal life, which is chai olam, as we said, and use it for chai sho, use it for davening, for parnosa, and things like that. Utfila kazo is tzorech shmira gedoila. And this type of tefillah, where again the person is davening for their physical needs, requires tremendous shmirah, tremendous protection. Shelo yisachzu bo hachitzoinim, that the klipos should not latch on to that tefillah, meaning shelo yeh bebechinas ragleho yordos moves chasushum, so that it shouldn't be in the category of what the Zohar Kodesh speaks about, that the feet of the kedusha often get pulled down into death, into the place of the Sitra Achra. We know that we conceive of the concept of Kedusha as a full organism, like Lahavdil, like a human being, Odom O'Elyon. And the head represents the upper Midos of Hashem, and the hands, the right hand is Chesed, the left hand is Gevura, the torso is Zeranpin, the right leg is Netzach, the left leg is Hoid, and the Bris Kodesh is Yesoid, and then the bottom of the feet is referred to as Malchus, the bottom of the feet. So it's brought that, and the Sitra Achra is the floor, the ground. And it's, we're told that the Sitra Achra, the forces of Tuma, when they want to draw from the Kedusha, they start from the bottom, they start from the Malchus. And Chas V'Shalom, sometimes when the Jews don't, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, when we do Averis and things like that, the Malchus goes down. The Malchus, the kingdom which is supposed to be within the realm of Kedusha, the kingdom which is supposed to be in the hands of religious people, in the hands of, you know, tzaddikim and everything, falls out of the hands of the Jewish people, out of the hands of the tzaddikim, it falls into the hands of the Rishonim. So the Malchus goes down into the place of the Sitra Achra. And one of the psukim that's used to symbolize this is where the pasuk says, Ragleha, her feet, Yordos Moves, go down into death, into the Sitra Achra. And we said Malchus is Tefillah. Malchus is Tefillah. So there is a certain type of Tefillah, Chas V'Shalom, which is vulnerable, which is easily attacked by the forces of the Sitra Achra. Rav Nosenthal explains, Ki me'achar she'mespalel al tzrochim hagashmiyim shel haguf, because since the person is davening for their physical needs, bodily needs, rak shekavonosei b'shvil ha-Torah, but his intention is, I'm asking for these gashmius things in order to fulfill the Torah, bekal tuchal ha-sitra achra lis'aches boi, lahatois kavonosei b'shvil tzorch yaguf ba'atzmoi. The sitra achra can easily spin it around and twist the person around, so that what will happen is that his intentions shouldn't be so pure when he's looking for the car that's going to take him to shul and it's going to take him to the koisel. And he's going to look for a car, he's going to have a choice of a more expensive or less expensive, the one with the leather seats or the regular seats, or the one, you know, and chas v'shalom, the person's going to get involved in doing things which are not really lishma, not just for the Torah, but more so for his personal kavod, because he wants everybody to see that he doesn't have a car, he has a real car, an elegant, you know, a fancy, that kind of thing, chas v'shalom. She'oz tfilosei psula, whereby if his tefillah is not sincere, if he's not really asking for those things for the sake of Torah, but rather he has ulterior motives, chas v'shalom, he's got other reasons, then that tefillah is called a tefillah psula, chas v'shalom. V'al kein, kishahat tefillah, she'bechinas malchus, he'bechinas zu, so therefore, when tefillah, which is synonymous with malchus, when it's posel in this way that we just spoke about, Azai hi bechinas ochor bo ochor, then it's in the form of back to back. Shehi dvuko lahatoyro utfeilo ile. I'm sorry, not when the tefillah is posel. When we're referring to this lower level tefillah, this tefillah for gashmius, that level tefillah, that level malchus, that's when the malchus is back to back with a zeranpin. Meaning, ki beloy, exactly. It's attached to the Torah and it's secondary to the Torah. It's subservient to the Torah. It is not an entity on its own. On its own, it's worthless, Chas V'Shalom. It's posel, it's no good. Because it's plugged into the Torah, it's okay, it's acceptable. Kibaloya Torah ain lo inyan klal, because without the connection to the Torah, it's worthless, chas v'shalom. Utzricho liyos bebechinas ocher ba'ocher, and that tefillah must be attached to the Torah back to back, shelo yisachzu hachitzoinim kanal, so that the klipos shouldn't be able to draw from that tefillah, from the malchus when it's in that state, because we said that kind of tefillah is so-so. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. It's vulnerable. It's very, very susceptible to being drawn from the Sitra Achra because it's so close to the Sitra Achra, because it's a tefillah for Gashmias. It's not a tefillah. I'm asking for Gashmias. I'm saying I want this Gashmias to be able to help my Ruchnias. Ki tefillah kazu tzricha shmira me'achitzoinim ma'oid. This kind of tefillah needs tremendous protection from the outside forces, from the Sitra Achra, me'achar shekol ha'tfila b'shvil tzorchi aguf, because of the fact that this entire tefillah is for physical needs, it's for gashmius. Rak shemechavein b'shvil kiyum ha'Torah kanal. It's just that my intention is that if Hashem will give me this gashmius, I'll be able to use it to help me with ruchnius, to help me do ruchnius.